It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Happy Columbus Day and good morning again, everybody. Coming up in a few minutes, we will have a call-in for teachers on this school holiday on what your ideal class size is. This is going to be a response to something that Malcolm Gladwell said on the show, and he was here to talk about his recent book, David and Goliath, the other day. Part of that book is about how class sizes can be too small. So we're going to replay a clip coming up shortly of Malcolm Gladwell on this show talking about too small class size, and open up the phones for teachers for you to talk about your ideal class size at any grade. So get ready to do that. And happy Columbus Day, teachers. Glad you have a day off. Right now, perhaps you've seen a headline or two about an FBI investigation into some area rabbis. Two rabbis and their associates are accused by the FBI of kidnapping and torturing Jewish men with cattle prods, among other things, in order to get them to allow their wives divorces. The sting spanned from Orthodox communities in Kensington, in Brooklyn, to Muncie and into New Jersey. The details in the complaint against the men are really jaw-dropping, but the case also brings to light the workings of traditional Jewish divorce. Here to explain the FBI investigation is Oren Yaniv, who covers the Brooklyn courts for the Daily News. Hi, Oren. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
And this story deserves a bit of background, I think, for people not familiar with traditional Jewish divorces. So let's start there. What is a get?
A get is basically a permission for divorce that in Jewish law is only can be given by the husband. So a husband has to sign off basically on the divorce. The wife does have to accept it, but it's basically a one-way street in which only the husband can grant a divorce.
And a woman whose husband doesn't grant her a get is called an aguna, meaning chained woman.
Yes, and she can be in pretty serious limbo because she's not allowed to remarry under Jewish law, and any children she might have with another partner are considered illegitimate.
So in this FBI sting, an undercover agent posed as a woman whose husband refused to grant her a get. What happened next?
Well, she was referred to Rabbi Mendel Epstein, who's been known for the past few decades, I would say, as basically the get-go guy in those kind of desperate situations where there's no other way, basically, for the women to get a divorce. And he allegedly explained to her his methods, saying that he's been doing that for about once a year, where he and his partners would basically kidnap the husband, hold him in a secluded place, and torture him until he would sign the get.
And listeners, we have time for a few phone calls on this investigation and the issues that it raises, especially if you're a member of one of the Orthodox communities in our area where the tradition of the get is still observed. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Have you been talking about this FBI sting or of the issue of gets and how women can get divorces under traditional Jewish law with them or without them? The phone lines are open at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And this is WNYC FM HD in AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio with Oren Yaniv from the Daily News. Oren, in the complaint, the FBI claims that this Rabbi Mendel Epstein, who you mentioned, of Brooklyn, and Rabbi Martin Wolmark of Muncie in Rockland County, Orthodox community, asked this undercover agent if she could get her husband to New Jersey. What was supposed to happen in New Jersey?
They found a warehouse in, I believe, Middlesex County, New Jersey, in which eight people, they included the kidnap team, four tough guys, two witnesses, a scribe to actually ceremonially write the document, and basically an agent of the wife to accept the divorce. All eight of them were waiting in that warehouse. Some were wearing garbage bags over their clothes. They had allegedly a screwdriver, scalpels, and other instruments of torture. And they were basically waiting for that husband to show up with the intention of kidnapping him and torturing him.
And the FBI suggests that these rabbis have been doing this for years. So have other husbands come forward? And how common or widespread do you think this is? Is this the first that you've heard of it?
Well, actually, this has been known for quite a while. There was an investigation in the late 90s in Brooklyn in which the DA's office was made aware of another incident by the same group, the exact same rabbis. And according to them, there was not enough evidence to pursue that, essentially because the people were wearing ski masks and the victim could not identify them. And yes, this has been quite you know, a known secret, so to speak. There was even a Soprano episode that had been
revolved around this.
That revolved around it in the first season, where you know, Tony's goons were the ones who are doing the torture, as opposed to the rabbis.
Wow! So here is a clip of Rabbi Epstein, who was interviewed for a 2011 documentary about Jewish divorce. You made us aware of this in the Daily News. So this is 30 seconds of Rabbi Epstein in the 2011 documentary titled Women Unchained.
I received a call from a young lady. She called me up and she told me that her son was kidnapped off a bus in Texas and that she had heard that I have an ability to do things that are outside the normal parameters or normal channels, and if I could help her find her son, and if I can help her get a get. I told her, I don't know who told her that, but she should first call the FBI, and if the FBI comes out that they cannot help her, I would then be a little bit interested to see what I can possibly do.
So that was Rabbi Mendel Epstein, who is now accused by the feds, the very FBI who he was referring the woman to, of kidnapping husbands who wouldn't give their wives a get.
Yes, I mean, and he also, I'm sure, helped a lot of women. The flip side of that is that he did charge up to $60,000-$70,000 from those wives for those services, meaning the violent ones, allegedly. But there's no doubt that he did help a lot of women, and some of them are in pretty dire straits, and they don't really have much of a recourse to convince their husbands to give them the divorce.
Let's take a phone call, and our lines are jammed from New Jersey to Rockland County to Brooklyn. Sure. Michael in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to reiterate that point that was just made. And I believe that many of the women are in such dire straits. And in a certain sense, these people, I can call them, they're great feminists. And they're protecting the rights of the women, making sure that they have an option and they have some other way out. It's not necessarily coming from a terrible point in what they're doing. The reason why they charge money, perhaps, was because it is a risk. And like you see, look what happened now. So it's not necessarily to prod on innocent people and rip their money away. Rather, it's another alternative and the risk.
Michael, do you think there could be another way that's still effective?
There might be another way. It hasn't been proven to be that effective yet.
Michael,
if a guy's a jerk and he doesn't want to give the get and he will insist and use the power of the law in his favor and leave a woman for years and years and years without any alternative, how do you deal with a jerk?
Michael, I really appreciate your call. And sure enough, we saw a column in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz over the weekend written by Rabbi Eliyahu Fink with the headline, Rabbis Who Beat Men Into Divorcing Their Wives, Villains or Heroes. So there's kind of a, you know, I mean, how could somebody not be a villain if they're literally torturing people? On the other hand, they're doing it for a cause that probably most people listening right now would support, allowing women to have equal agency in whether she gets a divorce.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting tension there. And actually, in the Middle Ages, and that's part of the documentary that you cited a few minutes ago, and they mentioned how in the Middle Ages there were some rabbis who said that, yes, it is allowed to beat up the husband until he grants a divorce because that's basically him giving up the right intention of the Jewish law, and they actually allow that. Obviously, now that's impossible here, given the civil laws that rabbinical courts are bound by. So that's a bit of a problem. But there's definitely an issue here. And in Israel, for example, where rabbinical courts have more power, there's more sanctions that the husband can face. Their bank account can be frozen. They can lose their driving license. They can even be thrown in jail in very extreme cases. But those solutions are not available here. And there is a gap between what you can legally do and what you can effectively do, I would say.
Susan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, happy to be on. I'm just about in the final stages of writing a book called The Aguna Chronicles with my co-author Rivka Hout. She and I have been activists in this field for 3 decades. And what I want to say is that there are halachic or Jewish legal solutions.
And again, just to keep people abreast of the vocabulary, you mentioned the word before, but aguna is the chained woman, the woman who is denied a get or a divorce by her husband.
Correct. So I would like to inform your listeners that there are halachic solutions, that is Jewish legal solutions, that are long known, that can take the get away as a weapon out of the hands of the husband by annulling or dissolving a marriage, and that it's actually the lack of courage on the part of the established Orthodox rabbinate to apply these solutions that has brought about this ugly situation that's finally been exposed. So the rabbinate, the Orthodox rabbinate in its entirety is partially responsible for this situation.
Are these guys heroes or villains in your view?
They're villains. They first of all have preyed on these women and charged exorbitant amounts of money, and they themselves are aware of the halachic solutions that are available. It's a money making opportunity for them. So in my mind, they are totally villains. And just to comment on your guest's remark about how in Israel rabbis or the rabbinical court system can put men in jail or take away their licenses, it's not a solution. There are cases of men who stayed in jail for decades because they're such misfits, and in many cases stayed in jail long enough to allow their chained wives' childbearing years to elapse. There are women who have lost the opportunity to have children because of this kind of thing.
Susan, I appreciate your call. One more call. Chaim in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Chaim.
Thank you. I'm a longtime listener. I represented Rabbi Abraham Rubin, who was also a victim of Rabbi Epstein. He was beaten and tortured, and I represented him on appeal. There are a couple of points I'd like to make. First of all, men are sometimes held up by their wives just like women are. So I know of somebody who was unable to give the get because his wife refused to accept it for 3 years. So it's not a completely one-way street, though there are some exceptions to that.
But it doesn't sound like it's kind of an equal-way street, right?
Well, under rabbinical law, it is equal. The man has to voluntarily give the get. The woman has to voluntarily receive the get. And there are grounds under Jewish law under which each can be compelled. Now, the problem arises when one party or the other leaves the religious fold. And so if one party goes out and has no use for the get, then the other party is left in the state of limbo. But if both are religious people abiding by the rules, he's as much bound by the lack of the get as she is.
Chaim, thank you for your call. There is a power differential here, though, for the most part. Isn't there, Oren?
Yes, there is. And it's true what the last caller said. I mean, some husbands can become in some limbo, but by and large, the problem is the women who are agunot, who cannot get the get.
So maybe what this all really highlights is that this traditional view of marriage that gives the men more power or that doesn't allow either individual to go through the civil court system that we have in the United States, maybe it's this traditional view that needs to change.
Well, you know, I think the part of it's been a traditional view is that it's lasted for thousands of years without changing, and these are things that may be adjusted, but you know, completely changed. I don't see that happening. But as another caller mentioned, I mean, there are Jewish law solutions to that. They just need to be applied by maybe more progressive rabbis than those.
Oren Yaniv, covering rabbis who torture Orthodox men who won't give their wives a get, a divorce, as arrested last week by the FBI here in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.